Welcome to episode 256 of Grid Talk. Today we are here to discuss the first four car launches of the 2023 season and preview the fortunes of the four cars that have been released thus far. My name is Owen Medford, and joining me we have Grid Talk co-hosts George Howson.
Hello.
And Tom Downey.
Hello.
But first, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you could take five to leave us a five-star rating on Spotify or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're one of the 72% of people who aren't yet subscribed to the channel, please consider helping us out with a like and subscribe. We've had the first four car launches because AlphaTauri have decided to hold their race, hold their car launch at 5:30 p.m. New York time. So we will be sort of going into the Haas first. Tom, it's kind of a sort of breath of fresh air to see Haas in this kind of livery, but it's definitely sort of not so much of a departure as a slight sort of pivot for them, really, isn't it?
Yeah, so they've sort of gone away from the very sort of more traditional, I say traditional, their sort of whites with the blue and red design, or it was basically a Russian flag for 2021. They've definitely sort of moved away from that. It's almost like a sort of cross between 2017 when they had that grey, which I still think was their best livery yet, and then their 2019 ill-fated "He Who Shall Not Be Named" livery. You know, I'm sure everybody knows what we're on about. The Haas livery. I'm just putting up a picture of it now. Yeah, I like it. It's got a lot more sort of black going on, and if you look at it from the side, it looks like almost like a completely black racing car, but if you then look top down, it's got this sort of like white, almost sort of skeleton through it, which I really like. And then the way this sort of halo sort of morphs around. I tell you one thing that bugs me on it though, is on the engine cover at the back, the MoneyGram logo, so the actual logo where it's got those directional arrows, they don't quite line up. And if you look at it from a top down picture, as I'm looking at one now, It's like a circle that doesn't quite line up, and that really bugs my OCD. But that's just me being awkward. But all in all, I think it's quite a nice looking car. Call me cynical. I think there's a bit of an Audi influence in it. The black and the red and the white. You know, that does sort of like have a bit of a sort of Audi sports color about it. Obviously, Audi aren't technically in until 2026, but you know, they are sort of doing bits before then. But no, it's there are a couple of things I change on it, but I'm not a graphic designer. I can't, you know, I got banned from the art block in comprehensive school. So, you know, so take everything I say with a pinch of salt. All in all, I do like it. Maybe let's see a little bit of variation on the back. But yeah, it looks good. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Haas can do this year with two slightly more established drivers, should we say.
Well, that and they'll have some actual money. I'd be a bit more disparaging if it were me. Someone within the circle might have said that it does look a bit like the 2001 Minardi. I don't know who that is, but that's an unfair comment that was made. You know, we won't be talking about that any further because we're going to move on to the Williams, who have seemed to have got some actual funding this year, haven't they, George?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean they've. They've obviously got the American driver in Logan Sargeant in the car. Alex Albon staying the same as well for next year in terms of his team. I think it's positive for them. I mean, you look at the sponsorship on the car, there's a lot more on there. There's some big companies on there as well, which is encouraging from a financial point of view. They've obviously got Gulf now as well, which is just a very good sign. I mean, I had a feeling the Williams would look really good because I got a little sneak peek of some of their team gear and stuff like that for this year coming up at Autosport this year. And their eSports shirt, which I actually bought, is very tidy. And it's the same with the livery for the car for this year as well. I think it looks fantastic. And they have probably the best. I mean, obviously, we've got six cars still to go. We've only had four revealed so far. But I'm going to call it now. I think that Duracell sponsorship on the air intake at the top of the car, I think that is the best bit of product placement you'll see. If you look at it, you'll know what I mean. I mean, it looks like an actual Duracell battery. So I think it looks incredible. But the important thing for Williams is it going to be quick? And we don't know. I mean, I don't think they were that far off the rest of the teams last year. The grid has definitely closed up with the financial cost cap coming in as well in general. So it's a lot more competitive now, F1. So if Williams can, you know, if they can go a bit further up the grid, if they can close that gap a little bit towards the midfield, they could be in for some good points next year. But from a, you know, from a, an aesthetic point of view, the Williams looks brilliant. I think it's, I think out of the four we've seen so far, I think it's definitely the best looking car. But obviously, we do have six still to go.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's honestly, but it's well placed. We've seen sort of some shoddily integrated sponsorships in the past. You know, I actually, to be honest, on this same car, to be honest, because there's the Duracell, there's a Duracell flash of orange on the airbox, as you say. But I'll put it this way: I've never seen a bad looking car in golf colours. And unfortunately, they've not integrated the golf colours onto this. I think it's probably because it's not title sponsorship. You know, we've just got the golf logos, but it's great to see them back in F1. And it's actually another thing good to see in F1 is people actually painting the whole car. I think that this year, you can see the teams have at least, you know, it's early days yet, but they've actually got the weight down enough on the rest of the car that they can start painting the entire thing. You know, obviously we saw the Williams lose a lot of paint over the season last year, but yeah, as you say, as it all come back and it's left a very striking livery. Now, what I'm going to move on to next is obviously the reigning world champions are Red Bull. So, you know, as usual, there's not much to talk about livery wise, but I think the biggest thing is for Red Bull to be honest to talk about is the re-entry of Ford in 2026 as a power unit supplier for Red Bull. It'll be 32 years since they last won a championship when they came back in. In 2026. I think though that their sort of announcement of that could have gone a little bit better, couldn't it, Tom?
I don't know what you mean. yeah, no, it was. I didn't watch all the sort of preamble before it because I was working, and there's some meetings and stuff. But I tuned in as the sort of countdown started, and then it was Checo racing through the streets, and then Horner saying "get a wiggle on," which is not the first time we've heard that. And then they unveiled the car, and it's like, okay, that looks exactly the same, apart from a new Rocket logo. Not Rocket, which I thought it was. And then also, I think they had a Honda logo as opposed to a Honda Racing Academy logo. And that was about it. And also, we still don't know if it was the RB18 or 19. But they never said it was a car launch. They said it was a livery launch. So, you know, so yeah. But then the whole sort of stuff afterwards with Stefano Domenicali and him just like wandering around looking like a lost Pepe and then just not walking on. It was just like, and I say this as a Red Bull fan, it was just a shambles. It was like they were trying to go for the big whole sort of like US, you know, sort of like market type launch, which makes sense. You know, they're reintroducing Ford as an engine partner or, you know, as a sponsor or what have you for the you know, coming in a few seasons time. So they're going to do it in New York, you know, or in America. But it just felt very... I think pretty commercialized is the word I'd say. And it felt very sort of big, woo, yeah. You know, so sort of like just over, maybe it's just the Brit in me, but yeah, it just felt very, it was just weird. It was just weird, man. And the hosts, I can't remember who they were, but they weren't very good. You know, I want to talk about Will Buxton or Sam Johnston or, you know, even Jordan Palmer, you know, someone known from F1, not some American fella who didn't really know what he was on about. It was just odd, man.
Yeah, as you say, they did. In fairness to them, they did have a lot of time to fill with the lack of showing up by Stefano Domenicali. You know, obviously we had the CEO of Ford talking on stage, and after a sort of certain point, you could sort of see that they ran out of what to talk about. And I imagine it was probably political of don't put the CEO of Formula One on stage. That will look quite bad. You know, when it comes to sort of favoritism and things like that, but. You know, either way, you know, it didn't come off too amazingly, which is, I guess, for a team that had an hour-long launch, I think it says a lot about the sort of way it went. You know, it just sort of ended up being worth the price of admission just to see the farce at the end. But otherwise, it was a bit sort of all flash and no substance. Speaking of the sort of opposite of that, we've had sort of a number of we've got the final car that launched, which was the Alfa Romeo. I didn't really see the launch event of this, but it just kind of dropped on social media and on their website, and that was it. It's a bit of a change, George, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a very Swiss kind of reveal for, obviously, Alfa Romeo Italian, but they are a Swiss team because they're originally Sauber. It was a very, very neutral and subdued kind of kind of reveal. Some people might not know, but it is going to be the last Alfa Romeo Formula One car for the foreseeable future. They are going to be Sauber again next year before being Audi eventually in 2026. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a change for them. They've obviously got the very striking Italian red on there, but they have black where it used to be white for the most part. It's a stealth Alfa, it's a dark mode Alfa, if you will. You know, it's different for sure. I must be honest, I do prefer the red and white like it used to be, but I'm sure some people, most notably Tom Horrocks, one of our lovely hosts, was probably bored of that. So maybe they heard his complaints and decided to change that. But yeah, it's definitely different. It's not a bad looking car. I think the most striking thing about Alfa this season, though, is if he keeps it, it's going to be Valtteri Bottas' new haircut, which I think he's a bit young to have a midlife crisis, but it seems like he might be going for the style that he's opted for there. I'll let people who haven't seen that yet search that up. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting one for Alfa. They had a lot of good points finishes early on in the season, last season, and then it tapered off towards the end. They ended up getting sixth, which is a great result for them. But they have the likes of Haas and Aston chasing them no end. So be interested to see how they get on. It's going to be a strange sort of few transition years for Alfa. Then they become Sauber again. But they have Andreas Seidel at the helm. So that's a good sign. Obviously, losing Fred Vasseur is going to be a loss for them in a way, but they've replaced him with someone who is arguably better, in my opinion, as a team principal. So it's going to be interesting for sure for them. And obviously, they've got the same two drivers too. So, you know, there's a bit of continuity there in that sense.
Yeah, it's sort of going to be it is a transitional year, but it's kind of one of those ones where they should be set up quite well to carry on. I have to, we've only obviously had the first four cars so far. I'm just going to go around both of you and just ask what your sort of favorite looking of the first four are. I know obviously it's a lot to, you know, like this sort of subject to change with what's going to come later. But, you know, out of the first four that we've seen, we've got sort of two sort of blue ones and two red ones that sort of, it was almost sort of like goth emo ones. I saw that said online. So, Tom, if we start with you.
I really like the Sauber. Alfa Romeo. Sorry, force a habit. I'd like to see a bit more sort of like blending of the paint. So when it goes from the black to the red, it looks like they just went, that's my technical input. But I like that, especially the sort of like the sort of top-down profile. Yeah, so I think that's going to be my pick.
And you, George?
No, it's got to be the Red Bull for me. I mean, you know, they've really, you know, innovated on the livery. It's totally radical. It's so different to every single one we've seen before. No, I'm just joking. For me, like I said before, for me, it's got to be the Williams. I mean, you don't know truly until you see these cars out on track at the end of the day. I mean, I remember when Williams revealed their 2021 livery. When I first saw it, I thought, I could do that on Microsoft Paint. But when I saw it out on track and after a bit of the season, I thought, you know, it's not bad. It's all right. So you don't know until you see them out on track. We'll see, obviously, that for testing in a few weeks' time or so. It's going to fly by, I'm sure. But for me, it's got to be the Williams. It's striking with the colours there. But at the same time, it's not too harsh on the eye. I think they've really nailed it. It's a little revision from last year. There's a bit more black on there than last year, I think. But the overall colours of like the dark blue, the light blue, and a few shades of red on there as well. It's good. It really is. I really do think it looks nice. Obviously I'm biased. I think the McLaren will probably look the best in my opinion when we see them all. But for the moment, it's Williams out in front.
Yeah, I just had a thought. What if the Red Bull is actually the testing livery, and then they bring like a really cool sort of camouflagey one for the race, all the races?
A girl can dream, eh?
Yeah, I was going to say we can only hope. right. So with those favourites wrapped up, one thing I've got to say is we're going to sort of take a look ahead. Obviously, we've had the first four, and then we're moving ahead to the next six, really. I think it's just ask actually you guys, you know, out of the remaining launches, which are AlphaTauri on February 11th, Aston Martin on February 13th, the McLaren on February 13th as well. That's two in one day. The Ferrari on February 14th. That's a tongue twister if ever I said one. The Mercedes on February 15th, and then the Alpine on February 16th. I'm just going to ask you guys, like, what are you more looking forward to? George, I'll start with you.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, McLaren for me, obviously, I'm a McLaren fan. I want to see what the car's going to look like. They've gone for a different name this time as well. They've not gone with the usual MCL 30 something or 40 something or whatever it is now. It's the MCL 60 to commemorate 60 years since Bruce McLaren founded the team, which I think is a nice touch, to be honest. So yeah, I'm interested to see what they look like. Obviously, it's going to be majority Papyrus. It's going to be a very striking car in that sense. Going to see how well maybe the black or the blue, or maybe they'll introduce another kind of colour into there as well. It's, you know, it's all going to be integrated into it. So I'm looking forward to that. And as well, Mercedes as well. You know, I think if anybody's, you know, the most likely to challenge Red Bull this year for the title, obviously we haven't seen the cars on track at all. It's very early to say. These are just livery reveals. They're not the actual cars. You know, if anybody's likely to challenge Red Bull, in my opinion, it's probably Mercedes. And I've seen a few things going around saying, you know, asking whether they're going to be silver or they're going to be black again. Personally, I prefer how the black look compared to the silver, but obviously silver, that's their traditional colours. So I'd expect it to be in silver. Although I do think it was a nice touch going with a black car for 2 years, I think it was, wasn't it? I think that was a very poignant thing for them to do. So I'd say those two for me, McLaren and Mercedes. Maybe, I think in terms of the actual event of the launch itself, maybe AlphaTauri could do something very striking. I mean, like we mentioned, they've moved the time of the event to quite late. So it's going to be an evening event in New York. It's going to be a night event here in Europe. Maybe they could do something very standout-ish, you know, with some, I mean, they're a fashion brand at the end of the day. They could reveal some very striking clothing while they do it as well.
Yeah, that's clearly the bit all of us are looking forward to, is the fashion show they'll inevitably have in front of that. We have seen Nyssa Freese and, who else is the other driver?
Tsunoda.
Oh, I feel so bad for him. I've completely forgotten he's there. So, yeah, we saw them two on the Kiss cam at, I think it was Madison Square Garden, which is an image for the ages. Search it up online if you haven't seen it, although they are called Red Bull drivers there, and I'm like, they are out. I mean, I know they're technically signed to Red Bull, but they are AlphaTauri drivers. I think, to be honest, I'm looking forward to the Aston Martin. I'm going to see how they mess up this year with a two-time world champion in the car, and I imagine it will be green of some description that they've gotten it. But Tom, what are you most looking forward to out of the upcoming launches?
In terms of liveries, I'm looking forward to the McLaren livery, you know, because they have had some, ever since they went back to Papaya, I've really liked it. In terms of the actual launch, I'm looking forward to the Alpine launch, because I just think that it's going to be Otmar with Gasly and Ocon just standing next to each other. They'll just be standing around going, being chilling, and just look really awkward, because the photos they put out of like Gasly's first day, it just looked like when a parent says, right, go and take a picture with your creepy uncle over there, but don't get too close and don't stay too long. It just looks awkward and quite funny. And yeah, I think that's going to be a bit amusing, if nothing else. If it's anything like that, I think 2020 launch, and they, I can't remember whether, oh no, they were doing it remotely, or maybe 2021 launch, so they're doing it all digitally, and they had people, and the live stream kept freezing and lagging and all sorts. You know, just hopefully they don't do that. We'll have a Williams 2021 where the app got hacked like 6 hours before it's supposed to go live or something. So yeah, I mean Alpine, they're just a borderline meme by this point. But yeah, I think McLaren for the livery, Alpine for the launch.
Fair enough. Let's hope that Ferrari don't do what they did last time, which was let you change your devices' date and time settings, and it worked off that to enable access to the to the repository of site of the pictures. Now, obviously, these liveries will be sort of revealed, and car launches will be made before winter testing. We'll be sort of having a roundup of that, and sort of, if you haven't already, I'd sort of go for a preview of the feeder series as well. So those will all be starting up soon, and we'll be taking a look at those as we sort of previewed our the sort of next six car launches. We'll have a show next weekend detailing those. I assume they're probably going to be a lot more interesting than the ones we've had thus far. The current ones have been a bit sort of, what's the word, plain. But you know, sort of look forward to that, and then okay, keep an eye out for those. You'll be able to get those because Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most of our episodes are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Cast. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows with previews and reactions to the qualifying and race results. Those are all coming up very shortly. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And also make sure you subscribe, so you're the first to know when each new weekly episode is released. We will be back, as I say, with plenty more F1 content. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.